doing my very best each day to get the best out of those around me, and I take great pride in leading this country.
One minute I've got tears coming down my face, and then I'm like, oh my god, this is it, Monster had taken over me, and it was pure elation.
It was a real honour to be asked to be assistant coach for Sirens. It's something I take very, very seriously, and I really hope that I can have a big impact.
I'd like to think that I'm a vital part of this team, but I'm not the team, and I understand that.
A huge thank you for the Netball Show. You really have helped England Netball take our message to new audiences.
I'm Sasha Shipway, and welcome to the Netball Show with Mizuno. This time we hear from the Isle of Man's Claire Batty.
We were quite lucky here in the basis that we'd nearly finished our season. Some of our leagues had actually finished.
Siggy Berger shares her favourite England rose.
The England player that I admire the most has to be...
And Storm's Niamh Cooper tells us what it's like being part of the NHS.
The last couple of weeks actually have been much better over in Northern Ireland. Things have actually begun to settle down a wee bit.
Hi, I'm Juba Mentor, and you're listening to The Netball Show.
But first, an award winner, as at the start of the week, this happened.
Thank you very much for my award this evening. Firstly, congratulations to all the other nominees. You've all had amazing achievements throughout the last year. And my next two thank yous, firstly, to all of the performance staff at University of Birmingham. You go above and beyond to give us the best individual support you can. And secondly, to all of my teammates in the Bucks team, first team netball. You're all amazing, and you definitely support me with everything that I do, and you're amazing to play with. And yeah, we've really achieved a lot as a team this year, so I'm very proud of you all. Thank you.
And Fran shared her thoughts on winning the award.
Uni of Birmingham Sport, Sports Person of the Year. Well done.
Thank you very much. Very honoured to get the award.
We've just heard the little acceptance speech you did as well, but what does it mean to you, obviously, being there 3 years?
It's really special to get the award, and I'm very proud because I've been at the uni for 3 years now, and I've got one more year to complete of my degree, so it's nice to be recognised by the university for like my contribution to sport there and outside of the university as well.
I think we've maybe mentioned it as well, but how about a word on their support through that scholarship as well, and maybe just working around your timetables, that kind of thing? Huge help to you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Birmingham Uni are so supportive of, you know, so many different athletes, and they've been particularly supportive with me through that, the scholarship system, and all of the performance staff at Birmingham give me support when I'm at uni with, you know, my S&C and physio and coaching and everything that comes with being an athlete. And then away from when I'm not at uni as well, you know, I get lifestyle support and a good mentor that helps me balance all of my studies with my training, which has definitely helped me through the years get through the degree and get through full-time netball training.
Tell us a little bit about the uni team. First, we're unbeaten all season, and there was a win in Prem North, is that right?
Yeah, that is right. Our first team at Birmingham is full of so many talented players, lots linked with Wasps under-21s, and across the whole of the netball club, there's lots of different franchises represented. So the standard of the Bucks netball at Birmingham is really high, which is great. But yeah, the first team were undefeated throughout the whole season, and we won Prem North, and then were due to play in the Big Bucks Wednesday for the Bucks Cup in netball, but due to obviously the pandemic, that was cancelled. So sadly we didn't get to, you know, play out that final, but still a massive achievement to go the whole season undefeated.
It's just things like how individual netballers have been keeping active in this time. I had a word with Yaz, and she said that you've all got individual plans and a plan from England as well. So what are some of the things you've been doing?
Yeah, similar to Yaz in that we're all given a set programme each week at the start of the week, you know, complete this session on this day, that kind of thing. So a lot more running, which we don't normally do at this point in the season when we've got playing time. So yeah, I've been enjoying getting out for more runs. There's little strength circuits. Everyone's been given weights now, so we can do some proper weights and lift sessions at home. And yeah, also able to still keep up all of your ball skills and things like that from home as well. So yeah, I've enjoyed focusing on slightly different aspects of my training, like my strength and conditioning side, whilst we can't play netball.
And it's on the other side of the world, but are you watching the ANZ?
Yeah, I've been enjoying watching. You know, it's nice, although I'm very jealous, it's nice to have some netball live to watch and support. They're all looking in great shape over there, and the quality of the netball is really exciting to watch. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes, and then also supporting Suncourt when that starts in August.
Well done once again, Fran. Thanks again for your time.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, in the Isle of Man, they are looking for people to join their board. Claire Batty has more.
Before we start the proper interview, I just need to check, have you won any awards since the last time we spoke?
I have won Isle of Man Clan Coach of the Year. Yeah, for the second time.
Very nice, well deserved. You were obviously appointed chair in December, and there's no way that you could have predicted those last couple of months.
No, there's no way. We were quite lucky here in the basis that we'd nearly finished our season. Some of our leagues had actually finished, but we have got one more game that we need to play, which is a title decider. So we're still holding our hopes that that will go ahead. Other than that, we're kind of like back to normal. When I say normal now, as normal as it can be in these situations. We did really well in the Isle of Man, to be fair. When we got told to stay in, everybody stayed in. It was policed really well. Our government was really informative. You know, when we come together, we are a team, and we managed to do what we do. And I know that we're a lot smaller, but it still takes a lot of, you know, for all of us to do what we've been asked to do to make it work. And we're back in work today. The kids are back in school. So, yeah, just waiting for the borders to open, and we'll see what happens then.
You mentioned about that one game outstanding. As a board, how long do you leave it, or is that maybe still open before you decide on that?
So we have two dates, and if we were able to get back to training, they'll play on the 12th of July. So we are able to get back to training, but it's whether we can find the venues, because one of our main sports halls here have been used to house medical equipment that the Isle of Man needed to have on the island. So that's all still in there, and we're waiting to see where they can house that stuff and then get the sports centre back. Other than that, we're reliant on the schools and the sports halls in those, and I don't think that they'd be willing to open them up for the public to use before the kids have got back to school. So we're just waiting for a little bit of information on that as well.
A bit of a success before everything was locked down was the launch of that men's netball team.
Yeah, it has been put on hold like everything else. We'd kind of only had a few sessions, so there was nothing that, you know, it wasn't like it was at this certain time each week or anything like that, which we were trying to sort of work up towards. We've had lots of interest in it, and we've had some really good players. And during lockdown, I've seen that London, I've got another team, is it London Giants? So yeah. Maybe once the borders open, a little trip is on the cards for us, maybe to come over and play some of those men's teams.
You recently held the AGM as well, so how did things go? What were some of the things that you discussed and found out?
So it was our very first ever Zoom AGM, which was interesting, and chaired by Nina Roger. It was okay because it was very straightforward. You know, there isn't the normal chatter that you'd have when you get a lot of girls in one room or something like that. So yeah, it was very straightforward. Everybody listened to what we had. We voted with the little thumbs up signs and things like that. So we needed to adopt the new constitution that falls in line with the new structure that we're putting out, which is, you know, setting up the board and moving from that committee structure to the board structure.
And part of that, you'll be looking for expressions of interest just to be part of it?
Yeah, so we are looking for lots of different areas to be covered. So a lot of people have stepped down, and some of our volunteers will want to come back into that fold. So we'll be encouraging people like that to express their interest. But we're also looking for a number of new people who can inject other ideas and different things, bring that sort of stuff to the board. So we have finance, performance, operations, governance, competitions and events, and there's a lot of spaces to be covered on the board. And then after that, there is the structure below. So if you are interested in helping, we'd be more than interested in having a chat with you. So anybody who does, please contact development@netball.im.
Brilliant. What kind of people are you looking for? Just people that get it?
You know, moving forward with everything that we want to achieve, the most important thing is that people that believe in what we're trying to achieve. The same with, you know, it's about all areas of netball. So previously the committee have ran our league, and then of course we became a governing body, and we need to move in line with, you know, what we're trying to achieve, which trying to emerge as a more professional body, really. So we're not just looking after the league now, we're looking after the performance side. We're trying to make sure that it's, you know, going into schools at the right level, that we're looking at, you know, lots of volunteers, not just people that just play, but people that volunteer, coaching, officiating, you know, trying to encompass everything and make it work together.
Claire, finally, just remind us of where to get in touch.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to be involved with Isle of Man Netball, it's email me on development@netball.im.
Life can be a bit of a handful.
But what do you do?
Let go?
Or grab on to everything it has to offer?
Ask yourself, do you back down when things get tough?
Or confront them, breasts on?
Do you give up or give it hell?
Do you ignore your amazing boobs or fearlessly check them regularly?
We thought so.
This is Grabbing Life by the Boobs.
So grab regularly and check out any changes.
It could save your life.
Search Copperfield. Grab Life.
For the first time in my playing career, I've been able to play pain-free and completely focused on my game. I found a shoe that makes me feel close to the court and in control of my movements. After a long history with bad injuries, it's a relief to have found a shoe I feel confident in playing with on court. That's why I love the Wave Phantom. That's why I love the Wave Stealth. That's why I love the Wave Mirage.
You're listening to The Netball Show with Mizuno. I'm Sasha Shipway. Well, this week we heard the big news that the Super Netball League in Australia will be introducing the two-shot point. It was a bit of a surprise for both players and fans. Here's Chris Symington, who's the CEO of Super Netball. The first question is, why is the two-point shot only going to be in the last 5 minutes of each quarter?
We trialled the super shot in the bushfire match, the charity bushfire match that we held earlier in the year between the Diamonds and the SSN All-Stars. We felt like it's a good way to balance the traditional style of netball that we all know, but also provide some incentive at the end of the quarter to see our athletes shooting long as well. So blending both the traditional style, but also a bit of innovation and creativity.
And why are you introducing this now?
Well, the sports entertainment marketplace is highly competitive. It was before COVID-19, even more so now. So we felt like this was as good a time as any to bring it in and to make sure that we were pushing ourselves and pushing our boundaries to create excitement, new fans, evolve the game, and ensure that we're securing the growth of the league.
What sort of research was done to support this decision, and what did that research find?
Well, we've actually been doing a lot of analysis on this particular rule change for a number of years. It's been discussed and been a standing agenda item for the competition committee since the start of Super Netball. So we have a lot of data around the fact that the majority of our goals are scored within short range, and that has been a trend over a number of years in terms of those goals increasing and the number of long shots decreasing. We felt like this was the right time to explore a rule change that could change that percentage and see longer shots.
Other rule changes have been introduced for the upcoming season, including rolling subs and extra time so that no game can finish on a draw like we saw a few times last season. And how do you see this new rule interacting with the others, and what exactly does it mean for the sport?
Well, the three rule changes we've got this year with rolling subs, extra time, and now the super shot is really exciting for the game, and the fact that they can really play off each other as well. The introduction of rolling subs coupled with the super shot is going to be fascinating to watch in terms of the tactical developments that will occur within the game with that, how the coaches and players will need to adapt in real time within the game. So it'll be great to see how that unfolds. And then with extra time, this is a new innovation for the sport as well. And having a super shot, which could potentially lead to extra time or win the game, is going to be exciting to see.
There'll be plenty more on that in the next few weeks leading up to the season, and we'll be sharing some of your views and speaking to some of our Australian colleagues soon. So keep an eye out and tweet us at The Netball Show with what you think.
Surrey Storm and Northern Ireland player Niamh Cooper has been on the front line of dealing with COVID-19 in Belfast, and she's been sharing what it's been like over the last few weeks.
The last couple of weeks actually have been much better over in Northern Ireland. Things have actually begun to settle down a wee bit. I had the pleasure, or well, depends how you look at it, of working in the COVID centre in Belfast. So I work in an A&E, and our A&E was switched around to be the main COVID receiving hospital. And at the start, it was very busy. We didn't really know what to expect, and everyone was quite anxious and nervous. And thankfully, I can sort of report that over the last couple of weeks, things have settled down quite a bit. We are getting significantly smaller numbers of patients through the doors, and even the ones that are arriving, a lot of them aren't actually suffering with coronavirus and have other medical conditions that are causing them problems instead. As a result, I'm actually covering in one of the other main hospitals in Belfast, in A&E there, which has become very busy, just back to normal really with all its normal stuff. So it's been a story of two different things, you know. On one hand, it's quite quiet with the corona, which is great, but on the other hand, everything's sort of picking up. But I quite like being busy, so I haven't really minded going over and working and feeling sort of like things are getting back to normal. So it's been good.
Are you still on those long 12-hour days then, shift patterns?
So I actually luckily avoided those. A&E doctors generally don't work 12-hour shifts. Don't know how we've managed to avoid that. I used to work them whenever I was an F1 or a first-year doctor, and an F2, second-year doctor, but I have since working in A&E, the longest shift we do is a night shift, which is 10 hours. So I've been really lucky. I'm actually not sure my brain would be able to function past 10 hours.
You were mentioned, obviously,
a little bit of dangerous.
The fact that you've managed to change to a different hospital as well, so that'll be something that you've seen as part of this whole COVID virus, just the ability to change and just all muck in, for want of a better phrase.
Yeah, that's pretty much been the theme for this year, I suppose. We haven't really got a massive amount of choice, but I think every doctor really hasn't complained at all. We've just moved to where we're required. So I work in a trust, which is the Belfast Trust, and I normally just work out of one site or one hospital, and now we're cross-covering. So every week I work maybe a couple of shifts in one hospital and a couple of shifts in the other hospital. From my point of view, it's quite good because it allows me to keep my skills set up rather than just seeing coronavirus all the time. And obviously then helps the doctors that are just primarily based in the main hospital. So it has been good, and you just have to go where the need is, and at the minute all the other medical conditions are sort of taking over again, and that's where it's very, very busy. Should coronavirus kick off again, they'll probably pull us back and we'll be full time back in the coronavirus centre. And to be honest, I don't really mind where I work. You know, I quite enjoy working regardless of what it is, so just sort of have to get on with it, don't you?
It's maybe something I don't really want to ask, but I'm going to go for it anyway. Have you seen coronavirus firsthand?
Oh, I've seen a lot of it, yeah. Unfortunately, we were very lucky in Northern Ireland not to have the drastic numbers of deaths that we've seen across England and Wales, though every single death that we've had here or in England and Wales is just devastating. And I have seen a lot of very sick patients come in through the hospitals that I have worked in, and each one of them has been, you know, very unlucky to have caught the virus. Some have done really well and some have not done so well. I suppose it's been a period of time where I've been able to sort of reflect on lots of different things in my life and think about the things that are important and things that maybe I would have worried about prior to this that aren't so important.
Lots of our Super League players have a story about their own personal involvement as part of the NHS during the coronavirus, and we have nothing but respect for everything they continue to do, so thank you. And just before we go, we hear from Ziggy, who shared a recent Pulse online call with who she felt was her favourite England rose.
The England player that I admire the most has to be Jeeva Mantle, 100%. I think Jeeva is absolutely amazing. She, by the way, I did a quiz for people the other night. Jeeva Mantle started playing for England when she was 16 years old. She has been playing for the Roses consistently for 20 years. So Jeeva Mantle, I mean, it's amazing. And her presence, like when she walks into a room, she just has presence. She's gotten an MBE. Wow. So yeah, Jeeva Mantle, she's absolutely incredible. And she's such a great player. She's so tall. She does her job so well. She's so humble off court, growing so much. I think Jeeva Mantle is probably someone I admire the most. you know, no matter what achievements she's gotten, she's never gotten too big for a boot. But I have to also say another one I admire so much is Rachel Dunn. I'm a Dunn fan. She's got brains. Like, Dunn is a, I think Rachel's a scientist or something. She is so smart and she's so good and she's so, like, chill, down to earth. Like, I admire Rachel Dunn absolutely so much as well. So Rachel and Jeeva, iconic. Absolutely iconic.
Thanks, as always, for your support and for listening to us. If you enjoyed the episode, share it with a friend.
I will be doing my very best each day to get the best out of those around me, and I take great pride in leading this country.
One minute, I've got tears coming down my face, and then I'm like, oh my God, this is it. Monster had taken over me, and it was pure elation.
It was a real honour to be asked to be assistant coach for Sirens. It's something I take very, very seriously, and I really hope that I can have a big impact.
I'd like to think that I'm a vital part of this team, but I'm not the team. And I understand that.
A huge thank you to the Netball Show. You really have helped England Netball take our message to new audiences.